You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Since October 2008, someone has bombed six gas pipelines in northern Alberta and BC. Encana, North America's largest gas corporation, is offering a $1 million bounty in the case. Last Friday, police arrested and then released Weibo Ludwig in connection with the bombing. Journalist and author Chris Arsenault spoke with us in October of last year, and he joins us today with an update. Good morning, Chris.
Nice to be here, Sean.
And now, before we begin discussing the new development, can you recap the story a little for us?
Certainly. Well, as you alluded to in your intro, there's been six explosions since October 2008. The first one was on October 12th. 2 days before that, letters were sent to Northern British Columbia media outlets advising, calling the oil companies terrorists who should leave our lands. The second blast was on October 16th, and the third was on October 31st. Now, all of these blasts were not discovered at the time of explosion. They were found afterwards, often by hunters, as in on the October 12th case. So these weren't large explosions. They didn't trigger the alarms that Encana says are supposed to be triggered when sour gas is released. So the fourth was on January 4th when a shed was blown apart, a shed that houses gas infrastructure. A wellhead was destroyed on July 1st, or discovered on July 1st, and the sixth explosion was on July 4th, 2009. On July 15th, the alleged bomber sent a letter to Encana. This time, this letter was more, I guess, environmentally motivated than the first one, talking about greenhouse gas emissions and urging the company to switch to clean energy alternatives. More importantly, it gave a three-month timeline for Encana to start pulling out its operations. On July 30th, Encana posted a $1 million reward. Then on September, in September of 2009, Weibo Ludwig himself wrote a long to media outlets advising that the bomber had made some good points and had advanced a debate, but arguing that less aggressive tactics would be a better way to move forward. And then on November 22nd of 09, a major leak happened at a gas well near Tom's Lake, discharging far, far more sour gas than all of the bombings put together by the account. This is by the account of local residents who I've interviewed. And then, as you mentioned, on January 8th, Weibo was arrested.
Now, if the damage caused by the bombings has not been extensive, what was the purpose? What do you think the purpose was behind those bombings?
Well, I don't know for sure, but In the first letter, the bomber sent a message saying that despite the power and wealth of these companies, they are still vulnerable. And I think that's what the bomber is trying to show. Of course, I don't know, but in speculating, I think the person or persons doing this are trying to show that these companies are vulnerable. And you or I, as I've said in our first interview, couldn't go and blow up a sour gas line and not incinerate ourselves by most accounts. I mean, hydrogen sulfide or sour gas is extremely deadly. 100 parts per million will knock you out flat, or that's even less than that will knock you out flat. It's an extremely dangerous substance. So to cause explosions on these lines and not kill yourself or hurt anybody else does require some knowledge of the industry and how these things work. So what that tells me is that if the bomber had really wanted to make a huge mess, he or she could have done so, but chose not to. So this is, in my view, as much a public relations campaign as it is. It's more a public relations campaign than any attempt to cause the company serious damage. I mean, patching up these lines hasn't been, from what I've heard, that big of an issue. And the fact they were all discovered after the fact shows that the damage wasn't that profound. And to me, that shows a desire to draw attention to an issue rather than a desire to really cause damage. And I think on the first point, that this has certainly been an effective campaign in opening a dialogue on the future pace and scope of energy development in northeastern BC.
You mentioned the leak on November 22nd. Isn't that November 22nd of last year, 2009?
Exactly, yeah.
You mentioned that leak. What kind of coverage has that incident received in the media?
Well, the Globe and Mail ran a story on on January 11th, and that was about a decision of the Oil and Gas Commission. The Oil and Gas Commission is the provincial body who's supposed to investigate these kinds of things. I mean, this leak was extremely dangerous. 15 families at least were evacuated on their own accord. All of the company's sensors failed. And the company itself had to, by the accounts of residents, the company disputes this now, but the company had to be alerted to the fact that there was a leak rather than the company alerting residents, which is how it's supposed to be. So the Globe and Mail picked up on the fact that the OGC investigation, the report on that investigation, is not being released now. And the Globe and Mail reported that. Now, the OGC is saying, the Oil and Gas Commission is saying, that the report wasn't released because of the arrest of Weibo Ludwig and the ensuing kind of melee that's gone on since then. And to me, this raises a lot of key concerns. First off, I mean, this should be a separate incident from anything that's happened with Mr. Ludwig. I mean, this was, by all accounts, had nothing to do with sabotage or any so-called terrorism. This was the company's equipment malfunctioning and potentially endangering a lot of people, a lot of families, and children. So, I mean, investigating this thing is crucial, and it should have happened. And to me, it suggests that there is something going on between, in Canada, the Oil and Gas Commission and the RCMP. That's, of course, purely speculation, but the whole situation seems odd to me. More importantly, though, than the coverage of this release, in the press, the local mayors, the mayor of Dawson Creek, for example, and the police and Encana have consistently harped on one line, and that's the idea that the bomber is putting innocent people in danger, and that's true. But the fact that not one politician spoke out about this leak, the company isn't all over the media apologizing and promising a super thorough investigation. You don't see the police investigating anybody for this. And this is an act that's so much more dangerous than all the 6 bombings put together. I can't emphasize that enough. It's way more toxic gas was released. People were smelling it. Way more people were put in danger. So to me, it really cast doubt on the whole party line that the number one concern of government agencies, of the OGC, of the police, and the company is the safety and well-being of people in the area. If that were true, why not look into that? And residents who I've spoken to recently are furious about this, and it just shows such a double standard to them, and it shows that a lot of this so-called concern for their safety in light of these bombings isn't concern for their safety at all. It's concern for the image of the company and the image of the various security services. So people in the area are really not happy with how this major leak on November 22nd has been dealt with by the OGC or the police or the company.
I guess that leads to our next question. Why did the police arrest but not charge Weibo Ludwig?
That is a very good question, and a lot of people are debating that right now, and nobody really knows the answer to that. But I can definitely speculate. So he was first he was charged with extortion, which isn't. I mean, there's 200 at the high point. There was 250 police from the Integrated National Security Enforcement teams working on this case. More than 100 police officers were searching Mr. Ludwig's Triple Creek Ranch. For that kind of an investigation, a charge of extortion is not really what you wanted. So some people think this was a fishing expedition to look around his ranch. Others think that it was an attempt to extract a confession from Mr. Ludwig. For the interrogation of Weibo that lasted some 10 hours, the RCMP brought in Bob Wright, who is was retired. He was one of the lead RCMP investigators for the Robert Picton trial, and he's considered one of the best interrogators who's worn that uniform. So he was brought out of retirement to interview Weibo, which has led a lot of people to speculate that Don Adam is the name of that police officer, not Bob Wright. Don Adam. So they brought in Don Adam, and he obviously didn't get a confession from Weibo. What's interesting about what Weibo has been saying to the media is he's a cagey old fellow and has been through these trials and the media scrutiny and the interrogations before. And he isn't denying any involvement in this. When asked point blank, he kind of skirts around the question, which has led some people to believe that it's somebody on the ranch is somehow involved in this. Again, it's purely speculation. I don't know. But Mr. Ludwig himself is 67 or 68 right now, so the idea that he physically could do all these bombings, some people have cast doubts on that. So the other thing that's important to note about this arrest is that there's a major division between the prosecution's office and the police in what to do, because the police obviously believed they had enough to charge him when they arrested him, or likely believed that, and the Crown put the kibosh on that and said, we don't have anything for an investigation. So it looks like a fishing expedition. However, and this is important, after the arrest and the release, Inspector Tim Shields, who's been one of the police media spokespersons, said, we believe we are at the right place at the right time, which basically says they still think they're gonna get something out of this fishing expedition at Cripple Creek, and what happens there remains to be seen.
Okay, Chris. Well, thanks for updating on this today.
Thanks very much. I guess in conclusion, Tim Shields said there is nothing beyond the realm of possibility on this case. And while I disagree with almost every way the police have handled this issue, I'll agree with him on that. There's nothing beyond the realm of possibility thus far. And with the Olympics coming up, it's only going to get more interesting.
Indeed. Well, we've been speaking with journalist and author Chris Arsenault. You can read about his articles on the pipeline bombings in the Dominion newspaper.